Blog Talk Radio.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a freshly minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations, past, present, and future. The way we honor the past is by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present, by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord, and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and I don't care where you live and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly this morning to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah 6 and 1. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabians, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me harm. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down, and why should I stop the work or the work cease? Why should I leave it and come down to you? Yet they send me that same message 4 times. And I answered them every time the same manner, I will not come down. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. This text bothers me, and the reason it bothers me is because Nehemiah is just simply trying to do what the Lord had called him to do. That is to build a wall around the people of God. Mm-hmm. And the text says that he is doing this, and he gets quite a bit of opposition. And prior to this, everything in the world had been done to try to get him to come down from the wall. Let's look at the text again. The text says that now a prophetess comes and says, "Meet me in the temple of God, and then let us shut the doors because somebody is trying to kill you." Mm-hmm. And the text says, in essence, that Nehemiah said, "Look, if y'all going to kill me, because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But because I'm not coming down into the work that God has assigned to my hands are finished." And not only that, but I smell a rat. I know it's early this morning, but somebody say, "I smell a rat." Mm-hmm. Because I know that the aim of this scheme is not only to stop me from working for the king, but it is to discredit my testimony. I'm going to give you my text in a minute. Mm-hmm. In other words, Satan, I'm doing too good, and I know ain't nobody mad but the devil. My dear brothers and my sisters, early this morning as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text that I like to call an attack on my testimony. Mm-hmm. Let me say that one more time. An attack on my testimony. I pray that this will enlighten you and lift you up and prepare you to another level in God as you work in the kingdom of God and as you serve my God. Look at somebody early this morning and tell them, "For me, it's an attack on my testimony." Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not gossip. Mm-mm. It's not he said, she said. It's an attack on your testimony. You all know what the word attack means, don't you? Mm-hmm. It means an aggressive way, with or without a weapon, to destroy me. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced, without a doubt in my mind, that the attack of the enemy is so crafty in the sense that he's aiming not only just to put me down or tear up my church or get me to stop working in the church, but he is aiming at my response to what I'm being attacked in to make me destroy myself. Somebody hear me this morning. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is that the devil cannot destroy you and I, but the work of the enemy is to get you to respond to situations to make you destroy yourself. Mm-hmm. Notice, if you will, if you have God in your life, nothing can come at you that God has not already ordained. Or nothing can come at you that God has not already handled. So that the power of what you go through is your response to the test you got to deal with. Uh-huh. Notice what the word of God says. "I will not allow you to be tested beyond that which you are able, but in your test I will give you a way of escape." Somebody say glory. Mm-hmm. I stopped by today to tell you the devil works overtime on the choir, overtime on the deacon board, overtime on the trustee board, overtime on the ushers, overtime on the musicians, because he knows how important worship is in the ministry of our God and the household of faith. God says, in the midst of whatever attack that you endure, God says, "I will give you what you need to endure the attack." So now you don't have to worry about the attack. Because there's some of you that get overwhelmed and all shook up over the fact that the devil is messing with you and that you forget all about your response. Uh-huh. And the fact of the matter is, Satan is not my friend. I cannot stand that buzzard, but y'all should stop blaming him for everything. Oh, stay with me, church. Uh-huh. For you see, it is your response that brings you to the place of spiritual suicide, not the devil. Well, if you will, please look at somebody early this morning and say, "It's me." Glory to God. And so, the real struggle is, how am I going to respond to the very thing that I have to go through in this journey called life? Do I get all anxious? Do I get all uptight? Did I start losing sleep? Do I start going crazy? What is my response in the midst of an attack? I got some Bible. I got some Bible to back it up. I've got some more word for you this morning, because God told me to tell you, first of all, the battle isn't yours, it's the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. And then he told me to tell you and remind you that no weapon, male or female, formed against you shall prosper. God does not want us overwhelmed and concerned about whatever attack that comes against us, because whatever comes our way, God has already promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he would give us the strength to survive. I need you to get this morning, because you will miss the message this morning if you don't learn to focus and to transfer from attack to our response to stuff. Your mindset must change from attack to response, which means we really have the power over the attack of the enemy. Watch this. As long as you dwell on the attack, you're powerless, because you will always be on the defensive. But when your focus is on the response, it automatically puts you and put the attacker on the defense and puts you on the offense. I know I'm right about it, because when Jesus was talking one day, he said, if a man slapped you on one side of your cheek, he says, I want you to turn the other cheek. Didn't he say so? Now, I want to make it clear early this morning to let you know that Jesus said that, not Pastor Willis, because I would not say it unless I was certainly in the spirit. Somebody wave your hand at the radio and say, bless the Lord. However, the other side of this in the spiritual means it's not always about exchanging blows, because when you're on the offense instead of the defense, then your attacker becomes the attackee. God, I thank you this morning. The bottom line is this: you put the devil on the defense. For you see, he would rather make a fool out of you and I, but he is a liar. I prove it to you. Jesus asked the question one day. He said, who do men say that I am? Some said you're Elijah. Some said you're Jeremiah. Some said you're John the Baptist. But therefore, Jesus turns it around and said, but who do you say that I am? Oh, you all know the story. Big Mouth Peter answered correctly and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my Father, which art in heaven, upon this rock I shall build my church. Watch this. The gates of hell are not on the offense. The gates of hell are on the defense. So that when we stand upon the rock of the truth of who Christ is, and as long as we know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that alone makes hell put gates up to protect itself from you and I. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, with the attack and the power that we have, hell's gates shall not prevail. Well, I'm going to try to close this morning. Somebody say, I'm on the offense. And so, I understand that God is not trying to get you to focus on the attack as much as he is trying to get you to focus on the response. And when we start changing our minds on how we look at stuff, because God has already promised he will take care of you, it's clear to me early this morning the reason the devil wants us to respond to stuff like we used to is to discredit my God and to mess up our testimony. For if the enemy can get you to self-destruct and end up destroying yourself because of your reaction to stuff, who cares if you sing my song on the choir? Long as you sing it to the glory of God, we all are blessed. You don't leave the church because somebody sang your song. Come on now. Who cares if you sat in your seat? Now, I believe nobody have a seat in the house of God. Stand up and listen to the word of God. I'm just glad to be in the number just one more time. Who cares if anybody talked about you? They talked about Jesus. You don't leave the church for those kind of things. It's then it messes up the glory of God by approaching one another on the defense. I hear the devil saying, God, all I did was tell one lie. I just told one lie on them, and they went after one another. Uh-huh. All I did was started one rumor, and it tore up the whole thing. And now nobody wants to go to that church. Somebody said Jesus. Mm-hmm. But you all know the word says he is an accuser of the brethren. And so if he can get you to respond like that, then he can get you to mess up your testimony. And I stopped by early this morning to tell you, it's in your testimony where you begin to grow. Uh-huh. Every time you stand in the crowd and say, I thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, whether you sing it or say it, you begin to grow. Uh-huh. Every time you begin to say these words, it was nobody but the Lord that brought me thus far by faith. Leaning on the Lord is where you begin to grow. Every time you say, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins he bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. You begin to grow. And the power of a witness is this, that I keep on rehearsing. Uh-huh. And after a while, I say it so much that people that know me know what I'm going to say before it comes out. Uh-huh. They say every time I see him, every time I see her, she's always talking about how good God is and what God has done and how God has worked things out in her life. It is there that it is my testimony, because you know what God can do, and everywhere you go, you want folks to know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side. I need you early this morning to understand that the thing that makes it a testimony is that I'm able to keep rehearsing it just like a song. And what the enemy does is do these kind of things and simple things around us to keep you and I uptight and keep us upset that I will not say that it was the Lord that was on my side. Let me try to close. Look at the text again. Nehemiah had good sense. Somebody said, you don't need to have a degree to have good sense. Uh-huh. You don't even have to go to college to have good sense. Somebody said good sense. Uh-huh. But you see, if somebody comes to you while you're working and doing a good job for the Lord, and if they're not offering any help, or no good advice, or want to share God's blessing and just want to gossip and tell you you need to stop working for that church because you're working just a little too hard and you need to come down. Trust me, that's the devil. Stop by this morning to tell you to stay on the wall for you building your testimony. But you see, Nehemiah knew if he came down and rested one day, that one day would become 2 days and that 2 days would grow to a week. Just like staying home from church, if you stay home one Sunday, it grows to 2 Sundays, and then Sunday after Sunday, and after a while, you'll be making excuses because Sundays will get easier to stay home. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, you really wouldn't want to go to church at all, but you can't quit, because there's always somebody watching, trying to mess up your testimony. But I stopped by to encourage somebody early this morning. Mm-hmm. Do like Nehemiah did. Keep on building. Uh-huh. Keep on believing. Keep on praising God. Keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. For it is in your testimony that my God gets the glory. And whenever you're having a bad day, think about, I've got a testimony. Uh-huh. I made up my mind that I've got a rehearsal that I'm not going to break, and that rehearsal is my witness. Uh-huh. And my witness is my testimony. And my testimony is that he is everything that he said that he would be. Uh-huh. And if the devil's trying to break my testimony, he might as well get ready, because I'm not going to give up. Mm-hmm. If he thought I was loud before, I'm getting ready to get louder and give God all the glory and praise. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul magnifies the Lord, and I will hold on to God's unchanging hand. Listen, I've got a testimony, and I shall not be moved. I'm going to praise God because I've got that testimony, because I know him as a doctor that never lost a case. I know him as a lawyer in a courtroom. I know him as a friend that stick closer than a brother. And I made up my mind that I'm going to keep rehearsing. But one day I will hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Listen, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, one thing you can do is begin to build a testimony by saying, Lord, forgive me for all of my sins and all of my secret sins. Wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and give me another chance to start all over again, and then save my soul. Begin to build on your testimony by finding a church that's not only preaching the gospel, but also practicing it. And know why you're there. You're there to be an asset and not a liability. Work while it's day, for when the night cometh, no man can work. And then you continually stay on your knees. And if there's nothing else, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. It is an attack on my testimony. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a freshly minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation GENELATION. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations, past, present, and future. The way we honor the past is by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present, by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord, and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and I don't care where you live and the police can't arrest. Somebody said that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly this morning to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah 6 and 1. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Uh-huh, mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabians, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. And why should I stop the work, or the work cease? Why should I leave it and come down to you? Yet they send me that same message four times, and I answered them every time the same manner, I will not come down. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. This text bothers me, and the reason it bothers me is because Nehemiah is just simply trying to do what the Lord had called him to do. That is to build a wall around the people of God. Mm-hmm. And the text says that he is doing this, and he gets quite a bit of opposition. And prior to this, everything in the world had been done to try to get him to come down from the wall. Let's look at the text again. The text says that now a prophetess comes and says, Meet me in the temple of God, and then let us shut the doors because somebody is trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. And the text says, in essence, that Nehemiah said, Look, if y'all going to kill me, because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But because I'm not coming down into the work that God has assigned to my hands are finished. And not only that, but I smell a rat. I know it's early this morning, but somebody say, I smell a rat. Mm-hmm. Because I know that the aim of this scheme is not only to stop me from working for the king, but it is to discredit my testimony. I'm going to give you my text in a minute. Mm-hmm. In other words, Satan, I'm doing too good, and I know ain't nobody mad but the devil. My dear brothers and my sisters, early this morning, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text that I like to call an attack on my testimony. Mm-hmm. Let me say that one more time. An attack on my testimony. I pray that this will enlighten you and lift you up and prepare you to another level in God as you work in the kingdom of God and as you serve my God. Look at somebody early this morning and tell them, for me, it's an attack on my testimony. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not gossip. Mm-mm. It's not he said, she said. It's an attack on your testimony. You all know what the word attack means, don't you? Mm-hmm. It means an aggressive way with or without a weapon to destroy me. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced without a doubt in my mind that the attack of the enemy is so crafty in the sense that he's aiming not only just to put me down or tear up my church or get me to stop working in the church, but he is aiming at my response to what I'm being attacked in to make me destroy myself. Somebody hear me this morning. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is that the devil cannot destroy you and I. But the work of the enemy is to get you to respond to situations to make you destroy yourself. Mm-hmm. Notice, if you will, if you have God in your life, nothing can come at you that God has not already ordained. Or nothing can come at you that God has not already handled. So that the power of what you go through is your response to the test you got to deal with. Uh-huh. Notice what the word of God says. I will not allow you to be tested beyond that which you are able, but in your test, I will give you a way of escape. Somebody say glory. Mm-hmm. I stopped by today to tell you the devil works overtime on the choir, overtime on the deacon board, overtime on the trustee board, overtime on the ushers, overtime on the musicians, because he knows how important worship is in the ministry of our God and the household of faith. God says, in the midst of whatever attack that you endure, God says, I will give you what you need to endure the attack. So now you don't have to worry about the attack. Because there's some of you that get overwhelmed and all shook up over the fact that the devil is messing with you and that you forget all about your response. And the fact of the matter is, Satan is not my friend. I cannot stand that buzzard, but y'all should stop blaming him for everything. Oh, stay with me, church. For you see, it is your response that brings you to the place of spiritual suicide, not the devil. Well, we will please look at somebody early this morning and say, it's me. Glory to God. And so, the real struggle is, how am I going to respond to the very thing that I have to go through in this journey called life? Do I get all anxious? Do I get all uptight? Did I start losing sleep? Do I start going crazy? What is my response in the midst of an attack? I got some Bible to back it up. I've got some more word for you this morning, because God told me to tell you, first of all, the battle isn't yours, it's the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. And then he told me to tell you and remind you that no weapon, male or female, formed against you shall prosper. God does not want us overwhelmed and concerned about whatever attack that comes against us, because whatever comes our way, God has already promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he would give us the strength to survive. I need you to get this morning, because you will miss the message this morning if you don't learn to focus and to transfer from attack to our response to stuff. Your mindset must change from attack to response, which means we really have the power over the attack of the enemy. Watch this. As long as you dwell on the attack, you're powerless. Because you will always be on the defensive. But when your focus is on the response, it automatically puts you and put the attacker on the defense and puts you on the offense. I know I'm right about it. Because when Jesus was talking one day, he said, if a man slapped you on one side of your cheek, he says, I want you to turn the other cheek. Didn't he say so? Now, I want to make it clear early this morning, to let you know that Jesus said that, not Pastor Willis, because I would not say it unless I was certainly in the spirit. Somebody wave your hand at the radio and say, bless the Lord. However, the other side of this in the spiritual means it's not always about exchanging blows, because when you're on the offense instead of the defense, then your attacker becomes the attackee. God, I thank you this morning. The bottom line is this: you put the devil on the defense. For you see, he would rather make a fool out of you and I, but he is a liar. I prove it to you. Jesus asked the question one day. He said, who do men say that I am? Some said you're Elijah. Some said you're Jeremiah. Some said you're John the Baptist. But therefore Jesus turns it around and said, but who do you say that I am? Oh, you all know the story. Big Mouth Peter answered correctly and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my Father, which art in heaven, upon this rock I shall build my church. Watch this. The gates of hell are not on the offense. The gates of hell are on the defense. So that when we stand upon the rock of the truth of who Christ is, and as long as we know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that alone makes hell put gates up to protect itself from you and I. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, with the attack and the power that we have, hell's gates shall not prevail. Well, I'm going to try to close this morning. Somebody say, I'm on the offense. And so, I understand that God is not trying to get you to focus on the attack as much as he is trying to get you to focus on the response. And when we start changing our minds on how we look at stuff, because God has already promised he will take care of you, it's clear to me early this morning the reason the devil wants us to respond to stuff like we used to is to discredit my God and to mess up our testimony. For if the enemy can get you to self-destruct and end up destroying yourself because of your reaction to stuff, who cares if you sing my song on the choir? Long as you sing it to the glory of God, we all are blessed. You don't leave the church because somebody sang your song. Come on now. Who cares if you sit in your seat? Now, I believe nobody have a seat in the house of God. Stand up and listen to the word of God. I'm just glad to be in the number just one more time. Who cares if anybody talked about you? They talked about Jesus. You don't leave the church for those kind of things. It's then it messes up the glory of God by approaching one another on the defense. I hear the devil saying, God, all I did was tell one lie. I just told one lie on them, and they went after one another. All I did was started one rumor, and it tore up the whole thing. And now nobody wants to go to that church. Somebody said, Jesus. But you all know the word says he is an accuser of the brethren. And so if he can get you to respond like that, then he can get you to mess up your testimony. And I stopped by early this morning to tell you, it's in your testimony where you begin to grow. Every time you stand in the crowd and say, I thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Whether you sing it or say it, you begin to grow. Every time you begin to say these words, it was nobody but the Lord that brought me thus far by faith. Leaning on the Lord is where you begin to grow. Every time you say, what a friend we have in Jesus, all of our sins he bear, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer, you begin to grow. And the power of a witness is this, that I keep on rehearsing. And after a while, I say it so much that people that know me know what I'm going to say before it comes out. They say every time I see him, every time I see her, she's always talking about how good God is and what God has done and how God has worked things out in her life. It is there that it is my testimony, because you know what God can do, and everywhere you go, you want folks to know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side. I need you early this morning to understand that the thing that makes it a testimony is that I'm able to keep rehearsing it just like a song. And what the enemy does is do these kind of things and simple things around us to keep you and I uptight and keep us upset that I will not say that it was the Lord that was on my side. Let me try to close. Look at the text again. Nehemiah had good sense. Somebody said, you don't need to have a degree to have good sense. You don't even have to go to college to have good sense. Somebody said good sense. But you see, if somebody comes to you while you're working and doing a good job for the Lord, and if they're not offering any help or no good advice, or want to share God's blessing and just want to gossip and tell you you need to stop working for that church because you're working just a little too hard and you need to come down, trust me, that's the devil. Stop by this morning to tell you to stay on the wall, for you're building your testimony. For you see, Nehemiah knew if he came down and rested one day, that one day would become 2 days, and that 2 days would grow to a week. Just like staying home from church, if you stay home one Sunday, it grows to 2 Sundays, and then Sunday after Sunday, and after a while, you'll be making excuses because Sundays will get easier to stay home. And then after a while, you really wouldn't want to go to church at all. But you can't quit, because there's always somebody watching, trying to mess up your testimony. But I stopped by to encourage somebody early this morning. Do like Nehemiah did. keep on building. Keep on believing. Keep on praising God. Keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. For it is in your testimony that my God gets the glory. And whenever you're having a bad day, think about, I've got a testimony. I made up my mind that I've got a rehearsal that I'm not going to break, and that rehearsal is my witness. And my witness is my testimony. And my testimony is that he is everything that he said that he would be. And if the devil's trying to break my testimony, he might as well get ready, because I'm not going to give up. If he thought I was loud before, I'm getting ready to get louder and give God all the glory and praise. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul magnifies the Lord, and I will hold on to God's unchanging hand. Listen, I've got a testimony, and I shall not be moved. I'm going to praise God because I've got that testimony, because I know him as a doctor that never lost a case. I know him as a lawyer in a courtroom. I know him as a friend that stick closer than a brother. And I made up my mind that I'm going to keep rehearsing, but one day I will hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Listen, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, one thing you can do is begin to build a testimony by saying, "Lord, forgive me for all of my sins and all of my secret sins. Wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and give me another chance to start all over again, and then save my soul." Begin to build on your testimony by finding a church that's not only preaching the gospel but also practicing it, and know why you're there. You're there to be an asset and not a liability. Work while it's day, for when the night cometh, no man can work. And then you continually stay on your knees. And if there's nothing else, it's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. It is an attack on my testimony. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you. Real good.